Welcome to the one and only podcast that will make you feel amazing. I mean, okay, it's not. That was false. But I mean, I feel amazing. So I hope that you feel amazing today. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm super excited to be here with you for another episode of Navigating Mindfulness, talking about mindfulness as we build our businesses. Again, my name is Cheryl Sutherland. I'm the founder of Please Notes Goods and have multiple businesses. I'm a millennial woman on the move, and I'm joined with my co-host, Tess, with the most Tess, the one and only Lisa McHale. She's out here snatching hearts and dropping weight and catching coins and living life. I mean, honestly, the coffee just hit. So today's episode, there's so many things that we can talk about, and we wanted to swing back to business and getting into one of the OG things that people know that they need to do for their business, or that suggested people do for their business, is networking. It can't be like Mortal Kombat, but it's not. And really, we're going to break it down. I know for myself, I've been doing networking for years. When I moved to California, my job there was working for a couple different companies, but I was doing account management. I was doing like outgoing sales, like inbound, all that sort of stuff. And so networking was a part of my, like, weekly, I would have to go and have these conversations of like, yeah, this is my company. Yeah, this is what we do. Yeah, this is how we support people, and enrolling people into these conversations so that, you know, we can continue on to see if they're a good fit. And then of course I have the opportunity to continue to do that when I started my business, not only looking for people to purchase my products, places to sell my products, but then people that could connect me to people that have this next higher level look at XYZ or connection to X, Y, and Z. Now, Lisa, on the other hand, she's actually built her business completely on word of mouth and referrals, which honestly is a very clear testament to the value that she gives people, the quality of service that she provides. And also, you know, that her product is something that people need, right? So let's get a little bit into networking and seeing how we can upgrade our networking game during Rona season. Obviously, we're all inside and on the internet versus being able to touch people at a bar or like at like a BNI meeting. So let's figure out some solutions. One quick question I have before we get started, Lisa, I would love to know, is there any reason why you haven't done any networking? Is it just because you've never really had to do networking? Like, let me know. I want to know a little bit more about like your history with networking.
Well, you know, thank you so much for just highlighting that we really haven't done any marketing or networking. And logistically, when you're running a business and you're committed to being at a desk from like 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. and you're on your own, you can't really go to any networking events. And prior to this pandemic, a lot of networking events were face-to-face. BNI is like breakfast in the morning or lunch in the afternoon. And logistically, it just wasn't going to happen. And a mentor of mine just said, you know, it could be considered to be a drain on time. And it was a resource that, you know, I just didn't have at the time. And the business that we're talking about originally was answering phones. And so the best way to get referrals out of that business was just, you would do a great job answering phones, and your clients will eventually be like, who's that? How does that work? And we would just grow in communities. I mean, there's a pocket in New York called the Five Towns. And we started answering phones for a financial advisor, and then the lawyer caught wind of it, and then the doctor caught wind of it. And all of a sudden we were like their main provider for doing that. And then it piggybacked off to like Israel. So, I mean, that's just kind of how we grew. And so it sort of proved that I didn't need to be out there. I just needed to do a good job at what I was doing. Is that the case now? I'm not so sure. Right. So it's also the resourcing. Do you have to have really, really great people? You can't just do explosive growth in that particular business, because then you're having a quality issue. We're not an answering service. Even though I'm talking about answering phone calls, we're not an answering service. We're high level, executive level support service so that you can do what you're good at. but we're still able to move your business forward. And that has always been the position. So that's why, long story short, I just never did it. Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah. What about you? So do you do a lot of networking? Because I know you were just on Clubhouse running your room and you were talking about how people just came, were piping up and talking about how they met you, what they've different conversations that you've had. So we're really on two separate ends of a spectrum here. So why don't you share your experience?
Definitely. So there's the what I like to call intentional networking when, you know, again, like looking at places like BMI, when I lived in Orange County or in Long Beach, we had eWomen networking, which was amazing. The Southern California branch, the Orange County branch, was one of my favorite places to go. In addition to it being fancy, like the people were just amazing. So shout out to eWomen networking. Same thing in Vegas. One of my girlfriends, Monica Vaughn, was running that one. Amazing. And then also taking a look at just like even some of the companies that I work for had memberships or were a part of different, what was it called? What the city would have it, like the city networking, like the
Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Like this Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, with that intentional networking, it was kind of like there was like this weird mixed bag because you would be sitting there and so many people are like, is this person valuable to me? Do I need to talk to this person? Do I need to waste time on this person? Is there something like it's very easy to categorize like people and be like, okay, well, is this who somebody I want to talk to? And then you could tell when people are thinking like, I don't need to spend more time talking to this person. Like, this is a waste of time. So there's that. And then I'm a big fan of just passive networking. One of my favorite places to do that was at co-working spaces. I had, I worked out of a couple different co-working spaces, whether it be Regis in Long Beach, whether it be We Labs or WeWork Evolution Labs now in Long Beach, whether it's WeWork. I had an office, a couple different offices in WeWork, and just being able to say like, hey, yeah, like I'm getting a cup of coffee and be like, oh my God, like I love your shirt. Who are you? Like, what do you care about? And then just being able to like make friends and make conversations. So many of the people that I consider to be true, true friends that I'm still friends with happened as a result of like just those unintentional conversations, whether it was, like we're all in like a co-working space and I'm like, oh my God, there's another Black girl. And this is my first day there. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, do you know where this is? And she's like, yeah. And then now we're still friends and it's great. So shout out to Liv Harris, like Thug Life. But then also been able to ask people like, yeah, I'm looking for this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm new in the area. Do you have any recommendations for this? And people just love helping people. If you're, I guess, talking to the right people. So being able to not only create friendships, but then also long lasting relationships is super, super important when it comes to networking. They always say that your network is your net worth. And it's so true. There's so many people that as a result of working with them once or being connected with them once that I've been like referred to different gigs or different speaking events, like years and years and years later, because they remember you, right? So being authentic and then coming from that space of service, I think is super, super important. So when it comes to networking, one of the things that I found when I first started doing networking is I go to an event and I had no networking training. So I'm just all like, hi, but luckily for me, people like me. So, and I'm like, I like talking to people. I like learning about people. And that I think was the biggest key to my success in networking is like just really being authentic and genuine with like, hey, yeah, I'm like, this is who I am. And this is what I'm doing. And these are kind of my goals around it. And I'd love to see if this is an opportunity to support you. Very similar with sales, like no pressure, just like, hey, yeah, let's have a conversation. And then just making sure that it's a win-win. Like, I'm not going to say like, yeah, let's go for our coffee if I don't really know anything about you or about your business, because it is wasting my time and it's also wasting their time. So there's a whole bunch of things in there in regards to that. But we're going to get into more stuff talking about like how to authentically create conversations. Also, like how do you actually do this whole networking thing? And then, of course, most importantly, it's Rona season. Right? Like,
yeah, so- let's talk about that, because networking has really changed. And just before we go into that, networking has really changed. Do you feel that because you have a more of a product-based business when you started networking, it was easier or harder to network because you had a tangible product? Like in my case, it was referrals through the service that really amped up the, our referral base, because they were having the experience. It's a service-based business. They're having a good experience. It makes it really easy to, for the client to say, yeah, call them. They're going to do really well. You're going to have the same experience in your business. But you had a product-based business that you could walk around and just be like, hey, here's my product. I have a bunch of them here, but I'm
great question. So when I first started doing a lot of networking, I was working for companies that were doing service-based businesses, right? So the interesting thing about them, and FYI, that inclusion notebook that she's showing is completely sold out right now. And I'm so grateful for that. However, side note, and that was actually created as a result of networking, right? Like I got connected to somebody else that we're both working for the same company. And then we did a panel together and we're like, let's do a product together. And look at that, right? First run, 500 units sold out within like, what was it? Less than six months, which is kind of amazing for a brand new product with like very little marketing. So I'm grateful for that. So going back, like when I first started, I was actually selling people's products and selling people's services. So instead of like you were like, I'm a business owner, I'm in my business, let me just hire somebody that could go out and like do outbound sales. And that's who I was. So whether it was like talking to people about doing PR or social media work, whether it was talking to people about doing like coaching and consulting work with like the one brand that I worked with, it was all about that transformation. And one thing that I'm greatly appreciative for is in that role, I was able to build those relationships because I was the first representative of that company. So people know me, they didn't necessarily know the brand. So even if they didn't really like the brand, if it wasn't in alignment with them, they still stayed in touch with me. Like there's still people that are trying to get me to open a Chick-fil-A outfit, like outlet in Toronto or in Canada. Because we met doing social, like doing these networking things, and it had nothing to do with the company that I was working with at the time.
I would consider doing that with you, just so you know.
I mean, I was thinking about it, but then at the time I actually didn't eat meat. And so I was all like, that doesn't really make very much sense to me. There are definitely some other avenues that I think would be really good, especially since I'm like talking about like consumerism and et cetera, et cetera. There was actually one idea that I will talk about offline because nobody really needs to know.
Okay.
Until we do.
So getting back to networking, this is what happens. This is actually what happens, and where the juiciness, as Cheryl would say, is like you're just having a conversation with somebody, something comes out, and then the next possible thing happens. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Like you have really done a great job pivoting your brand from product to now having service. And I love how you're using Clubhouse to really anchor it. Like I've only been on a couple of her, what do you call them, rooms or shows. Mm-hmm. But I am on your group as like a person who can do things. And I'm like, every time I'm on there, it's all about your create a life, right? That you love. And I love that you're doing that and you're taking advantage of the networking, but you're really just being your authentic self. And so can we talk a little bit about how networking and this authentic self magic happens? Because for me, when I'm thrown in those situations, I feel like I have to have an elevator speech, like as opposed to just me being me, or at least I used to. Now I'm just like, I show up and I'm like, this is who I am. What do you want to know? And there are different categories of things that I can talk about. So I spend more time listening to see where I can add value. So can we kind of smush those all together?
Yeah, no. And that's a big part of it is like listening to see again, where you could add value, because you know, when you have conversations with people that just like to talk about themselves and then you're just like, versus people that are actively listening, attempting to give value. And again, making those conversations a win-win. Like there's been so many times where I'll talk about my brand and people are like, back in the day, I remember I was attempting to play with really focusing on millennial Black women and being entrepreneurs and stepping into their entrepreneurship. And then this white man was all like, but I feel like Black women are empowered enough. I was like, and then like his wife was like, and it was just so cringeworthy. And then everything they had to say was about him and what he did and et cetera. Like, oh, well, that's nice, but you should. So wasn't listening to me at all. However, I say all that to say, when I first started, yes, there was definitely, you want to have an elevator speech. You want to be able to condense down the value that you're giving very succinctly. And then also twist it and like change it ever so slightly depending on who you're talking to. Now, if you're talking to, like, let's say again, for my brand, if I'm talking to somebody that's a mom that has multiple kids, or somebody that's like a business owner that has like a solid downline, like in an MLM or something like that, then I would say like, yeah, I have this amazing line of affirmation filled goods. I also do workshops and presentations to support people in stepping into like themselves, like boosting their confidence so that they can have the results that they want to have in their business. Now that is a good hook for somebody that has an MLM, because they're like, if I can make my people sell more, then I make more. Right. So it just makes sense. And then depending on like how the conversation goes, there might be like an affiliate deal, whatever, whatever. Versus if I'm talking to somebody,
a wholesaler.
Yeah. I'm talking to a wholesaler. Like, yeah, I have this line of goods and I'm, you know, like I've been in this place, like talking about my PR hits, then it tells them like that I'm a serious business owner, that I can handle like distribution and logistics, and that I'm ready to grow. So you're going to want to tailor that ever so slightly based on what you hear from people too.
You just touched on something really quick. When you said, you know, the PR, so how does networking tie to PR in your world?
Great question. So my experience in LA shaped a lot of things. And one thing that I heard a lot as I was doing a lot of networking in Southern California is that a lot of people move to California to live their dreams and then will ghost. So there's like levels of trust that you have to build. People need to see you consistently and like, are you a real business? Like, are you just going to take my money and run? And I say all that in regards to the PR component, because again, it's like brand, not notoriety, but it just
awareness,
not really brand awareness, but it's like, this is an established brand. This is somebody that's doing something and they've been doing it consistently and something that you could trust. It really ups the trust factor. So if people are like new to your brand and they don't know you, they can trust the fact that, you know, you've been in Brit & Co, or you've been in like, Huffington Post or on Forbes. Like, people just don't get in these outlets without having like an appropriate brand that's like actually doing things, right? So that's where that PR component, it just ups the trust factor. Like, of course, we're always looking at, when you're looking to buy from people, people are thinking about, do they know you? Do they like you? Do they trust you? So being in some, getting some of these PR hits really supports with the trust factor.
Yeah, I think that on the book club that we do on Saturdays, the book that we were reading was Leader with No Title. And it talked about like people do business with people they like, right? And so your personality is awesome for being, you know, a brand ambassador or a promoter, or because you're just out there. Like, the fact that people have met you in other roles and are following you on the newest, you know, Clubhouse app in the room and like, putting their hand up to just to say like, hey, I remember you from XYZ. That's pretty awesome. So networking, PR, like, you have a lot of training. So you said when you first started, you didn't have any training. So let's pretend I don't have any training, which is true. So we're not even having to pretend. What are like some of the things that you, I heard you say elevator speech, tweak it ever so slightly. Like, what are some of the things? Like, really, I like the authentic part of it though, right? Like, yeah. So that it's not so scripted.
Yes. And I think that's where we get into some of that spirituality or law of attraction options. It's, if you're going there looking to just get, then that's kind of coming from that space of scarcity versus going from that space of what can I give? How can I have a really great conversation? How can I support other people, coming from that space of service, therefore allowing you to get more of what you want, whether it's directly through this person or referral. So when it comes to you, if you're brand new to networking, I would say, yes, be clear on your product and the value and how you can support people, but then also be aware of, what are the qualities of a really good friend.
Love that. I think that's why I probably struggled a lot with the networking for the business. Like, I knew I was there for a reason. Again, this whole understanding that I was taking away from being in the pocket where it was already generating referrals and then being out there and not having an elevator speech and whatever. So I think the confidence factor of knowing why you're going there and that it's going to be okay can completely be achieved by just like, hey, I'm going to go and make some new friends today.
Yeah,
like, and that approach really works for,
yeah,
for
take the
somebody
pressure
like me.
Off of yourself, yeah. Right? Like, I feel like there's some people that'll put specific goals around their networking. Like, I have to meet X amount of people, get X amount of emails and da 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 da. And then that doesn't really translate into anything other than building up your email database, which, you know, people could just hit unsubscribe, right? Versus like just being out there to make amazing friends and just see, like, learn more about people. It's kind of like dating. Like, when you date with this end goal of like, this person better be the one, you know, like, do they fit this criteria? I want to get married, like, tick, 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 you know, like looking that versus like, yeah, let's just have a great conversation, get to know each other, eat some good food, and like maybe have this experience. And, you know, if it works out, if I want to see you again, if you want to see me again, then let's keep doing it. If not, that's totally fine.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me the crash course in dating. Cause you know, I'm not a dater. I go out once with somebody and they kind of linger for years. which is also not bad, but in terms of like networking, that skill set of just being like in the moment, like meeting somebody, and then just like, how do you add value for the purpose of your business is very, I think a lot of people just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's how, one of the ways that we're saying grow your business.
Definitely. And then another thing that I would touch on is the follow-up. The follow-up is so, so important because it's like, it's kind of like when you go to a workshop, you're like, yeah, that was a great workshop. That's cool. And then you don't do anything again. No, you have to follow up to tell people, like, if you love this, this is the next step. Really start building that relationship.
Right.
So after I would go to like a regular in real life networking event, I usually will categorize people in from A to D. In regards to, do I need to follow up with this person right away? Is this a hot, hot lead for, you know, like whether we had like a delicious conversation or whether it is that like they said yes to me or they want to book a time or whatever, like just being prepared. So I usually like to have like a list or use like my phone and then have the person's information in there and then just like make sure I'm following up no matter what with everyone, just making sure that you have like a LinkedIn ad or something like that, like very tangible. Like I like LinkedIn versus Facebook. I don't add business people onto my Facebook because that's my personal space.
Right.
But I will hunt you down and we'll be best friends on LinkedIn. and then after that, just sending an email, just saying like, hey, it was so amazing meeting you at this time, at this place. And our conversation on this was really great. So again, these are notes that you can either add to your little notepad, or you could add to like on the back of their card if you were meeting people in real life. And then just, what is the next step? Is it just like, please stay in touch, like let me know if there's anything that you need, or is it something more along the lines of let's book a time and then drop a calendar link? Make it really easy for people to take that next step with you. And then also, last but not least, if you are building an email list, you have to ask permission. Is it okay if I add you to my email list so we can stay in touch? If you don't want to, no problem. Like I just won't add you.
And you're really good at that. You're really good at that. You've got a pretty good list. You're really good at the follow-up. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it.
I'm working on it.
Out there that say like, it's, you know, people don't buy until they've had like anywhere from 8 to 12.
Yeah. Touches.
And so you're really good at that. Like you will reach and, you know, you'll be in touch. I kind of have not taken the more proactive approach despite what it says there. I'm ready when people want to engage. And that has been sort of my approach is like, I'm available, you know, I own probably the first, you Google my name, I'm on the first 10 pages with different things. So really accessible. And by the time you reach me, it's like, we can stand you up in 24 hours. Like we can get moving that quickly. And so I think it's also like, you have to find your way, but you, my friend, have been really good at the follow-up or like at least amassing a list and connecting on LinkedIn. I don't even know how I have however many followers I have on LinkedIn, because I'm not, I was probably one of the first, like in the beta stages. Like I'm infamous for being in the beta. And then I'm like with Clubhouse, you invited me and I'm like, I'm happy with my profile. That's what I can say.
It's the little things, right?
It is the little things, but even in your networking, you're really giving people some really good pointers here. Make sure you make note, make sure you follow up, make sure you have like a way to stay in touch with them.
Yeah, I make it easy. And I even think for you, the difference is like you're still networking. However, it's a different way. It's like you're showing and then people are asking. And then you've also made it very clear to all of your clients, like, yeah, if you want to refer me, you can, like, I'm always, you know. And then also I think you're very clear about the business growth that you want to have. Like mine, it's very scalable in regards to products and services and networking like workshops and all those things. However, you're very intentional with your growth. So therefore having somebody be referred and then it just be like, maybe like 1-2 clients here and there, that's perfect for what you need. So again, please don't feel any pressure to just go out and network and get all these things and get all these people if it's not in alignment with your business goals. And the last thing I'm going to say is that when you're networking, come with an intention. Like, what is it that you want? Who do you want to meet? What is it like, what is the thing that you need? And so when I remember this one time I got invited to this like Black women entrepreneurial thing that they were doing in, I want to say like Glendale or somewhere in Southern California. It was really great. They had amazing speakers, panelists, they had food, like it was sponsored. They had a career fair, all these different things. And then before I went, I was like, I'm very clear that I want to find somebody that is going to take me to the next level of my business and that I will just know when I see them, you know? And I ended up connecting to one of the speakers that were on the panel, Tico Najan, who's amazing. And at that time, all I had was sticky notes. And she was like, yeah, like, let's take this up a level and like do this rebrand, so that when I was able to introduce like the journals and stuff like that, it just made sense. She helped me get really clear on who my target market was. So then I could get really clear on like my verbiage, get clear on like my color schemes, all these different things that I had never even thought about doing in my business. So again, be very clear with who you want to meet and what you want out of each networking event. Because if you're just going to go, it doesn't make sense.
That's how it started to feel for me though, because it was like, I didn't know who I was going to meet, mixed bag of people. It was always referral based. Even in our Delegate Wisely consulting business, it's all referral. Like clients, you know, were brought over from an existing place where I was like consulting as COO. And even now this current CEO role that I'm in, you know, got a phone call. We need a mama bear to come in and like kind of put this all together. And I was like, okay. So I think it's one, what I'm hearing is authentically, spiritually be aligned to who you are and what actually feels good to you. And if you're unsure, still, I mean, step outside of the comfort zone box and try it out so that you can kind of know whether or not it's going to work for you. And in my case, because I did not do a lot of networking and I get invited to go, like, you know, the BDC is a great, great, great supporter of all the businesses that I'm involved in. And they'll always invite me to like meet some of the, you know, to their mixers and stuff. And it's fun to go. However, it's not how I've necessarily grown the businesses per se. It is really about just meeting people and that's really all I ever really, my intention is like, okay, so who am I going to meet and how will I be able to add value, if any, right? Yeah. And so I don't know, just very different, but now at least I'm comfortable. I can go in and just be like, hey, what's, you know, like, yeah, how's it going today, right? So that's pretty cool. So, yeah.
And that's how I met some of our business besties. Like that's how I met Bree.
Which
we figured out how we met each other now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
yeah. So I went to a CEO, which is this amazing venture capital new thing. Go check them out, but it gives you the opportunity to support other small businesses. So there, the lead was Canadian. So I talked to her and then she's like, oh, you should meet Bree. So then I got connected to her and that was like, we're almost at our 4-year friendship anniversary of being connected just through email. And, you know, like there's been businesses that I've been a part of, like collaborations that I've been a part of just by connecting people. So yeah. Yeah. And last thing I wanted to just quickly say is that one thing that's really fun is setting a goal of connecting people. So if you want to connect like two people to each other a week, that's a really great opportunity, not only for you to strengthen that network and being known as a trusted advisor and a trusted referral source, but then also for them to do more stuff together that you might also get paid out for in the long run.
Yeah. No, I always say, because sometimes adding value to me, and I don't, to my detriment, I think some people would say, however, it's also my blessing, is like, is it always about the getting paid part, right? Like when we started this podcast, it was really about contribution. Like, how are we going to add value to people who are starting or getting started or might have hit a block, or like, we're really on polar ends of, or opposite ends of a spectrum of networking, like find your own way, right? And so I believe eventually the money comes, and I don't know what your thought is on that, because she's the affirmation queen. For those of you who don't know, make sure you listen to her. It's not just affirmation filled goods. She's like living, breathing. So yeah, I think it's really, really cool that, you know, we can just be our authentic self. So when I hear that, I'm just kind of like, it's not always about the money.
And it's not all about pay. And then again, like, it really depends on what you're looking to get. And then also what is valuable to you. Yes, you may get paid. You might even just get continued connection to other people or like business growth. But in the context of growing your business, one of those KPIs are money, and it's expansion, right? So in some way, whether it's personally, you know, or it might be through your business, that there's going to be some sort of expansion that happens as a result of you connecting people.
Yeah, I'm also embracing that. I'm listening to Profit First from our mastermind with Bree and Kameh that we're going to have on at some point in the near future, that I also walked into, I guess, networking kind of thing with Cheryl being invited into this mastermind. And so there are many different gifts that come as a result of being open to what is next, what is the next best step for you. So networking, did we tie that already into PR? That was one of the things I know we wanted to touch on.
Kind of, but I mean, like, I don't really think that it, networking and PR, I feel like they're kind of two different bags.
Yeah. But that if you have PR, that it's easy for people, easier for you to sell yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I really want to thank you for bringing up this topic today, because this is not something that I would naturally bring up. However, so many gems for people who are getting started. So in the season of Rona, before we wrap, can you please talk about where I'm going to use the word platforms for those of us who are like restricted from physical meetups, that you would recommend people go to do some networking online?
Yeah. So for me, what's been really good, of course, as you know, is Clubhouse. Clubhouse has been amazing. Just the level of like, not transparency. Like, you could really connect with a person's voice and just be like, yes, I want to work with them. Yes, I love their energy. Or no, I don't want to work with them. Or no, they're not for me. Also, I would advise anyone that's at home, there's so many co-working spaces that used to be in person that have had to switch to doing virtual platforms. One of my favorite ones is Make Lemonade out of Toronto, who's like a femme-centric co-working spaces for a lot of solopreneurs. And they actually do monthly networking calls where you get to say like, hey, this is me, this is what I do, this is what I'm looking for, and this is what I want to give or that I'm able to give. And then they have a spreadsheet, so it's like easy to reconnect with everybody and like make it super easy. So definitely being a part of a co-working space or something like that. And then also, if you take a look at meetup.com or Eventbrite, there's consistently different spaces that are doing virtual meetups as well. So whether they're in your city or out of your city, it gives you an opportunity to play, and then you could probably get into those for free.
Awesome. So you just said for free. There has historically been, I know eWomen Networking had one, a fee to attend their events because they got to pay for the venue, maybe pay for some food. What determines a good investment or not?
That's the tricky thing, is like you really have to test it out, because it just like when you're finding a B&I, each one of them has a different sort of like feeling or flavor to them, right? So you're going to just play around, I guess, and then also be cognizant of who your ideal client is. And so are you going there to sell your product or services, or are you looking for that connection that's going to allow you to expand your business? Or are you like, what is it that you're being clear on what you're looking for as a result of going to that? So like, let's say for example, for Make Lemonade, the majority of those people who are solopreneurs are going to be buying my products or services or sharing it. So it'd be more like an affiliate situation or buying into like my consulting or strategic work, versus going to somewhere like eWomen Networking, which have more established business women that have a lot of their own businesses and have at least the Orange County chapter that I was a part of. Mm-hmm. And then, so it'd be like, oh, we want to, and there was a lot of coaches there as well. So setting up stuff like affiliate programs, like long-term sales cycles and stuff like that would be my goal there.
Got it. I love how you already know walking in, and you can do a fair bit of research prior to walking into something. With BNI specifically, visiting chapters, I think the same with Toastmasters, visit the chapters, really get clear about who you're going to be, I'm going to air quotes, masterminding with in this kind of space if you're committing to a group. I floated around to do some of these meetings, and I just found that it wasn't really the same as me just doing what actually worked in this particular area. So very grateful that I'm finding my way. And once, you know, we can get back together and meeting people, I will probably be like the first in line, because I miss the interaction.
I miss touching people. I haven't had a hug in like, well, 2 days since my birthday, but like I miss hugs.
Yeah. My daughter and I are very like, she's not a physical touch person, but that happens to be like my number one love language. So tough bananas for you, kid. You're getting hugs all day when you're passing
by.
Oh,
I thought you were saying tough bananas for me. I was all like,
tough bananas for my kid. Cause it's not her love language. It's actually like we're on the opposite. So it's kind of like, well, you're getting lots of hugs and touches from mom. So with that, do you feel confident that we've given a lot of juicy bits to our audience of navigating mindfulness while building business? Networking is a big part of it. Hope you got some really good tips from Cheryl Slatherline. Please notes.
Say that 5 times fast. I think that we covered a lot. And I also feel like it gives people a place to jump off of. So if you're watching this, listening to this, make sure that you send us some comments about like what you've done with networking. What are your next steps in networking? What's worked for you and what's not worked for you? We would love to know. And then if there's enough, conversation around it, we could totally do a follow-up episode about this. So please let us know what your experience has been with networking and how we can support you in continuing to grow your businesses. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and it's a wrap. Thank you, one and only Lisa McHale, for being here, and we'll see you next week.